Well, we're finally here. My goodness. COVID didn't stop nobody up in here. Everybody that was supposed to be here is here. You know that just, what was it, 2 weeks ago? There was like people, COVID, this, that, and the other thing. And it was like, oh, hell no. Not going to screw up this advance. And we prayed that it wouldn't stop a single person from coming. And guess what? Nobody. That's pretty neat. So God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Gosh, there's just so much. I do want to thank Reverend Jerry Carr, even though he's not here, that we get to do this because, you know, he just helps us with everything. Tonight I want to share on God and who he is. You ever think about what you would say if someone said, who's God? That's what I want to talk about tonight. Our theme verse is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, isn't it? Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What a great verse. You know, my heart for this advance is that you make the word of God your own. And if you have already, that you elevate the level of God's word in your life to where you just don't put up with stuff anymore in your life that you shouldn't. That you see God's heart for you. That we get God's word in our heart. And that's really an important thing. You know, there are walls that the world builds up around people's hearts. And these walls are hardened. And it prevents God from getting in. So think about this time that we have together to open your heart to God and his word. Not to whatever, okay? Whatever somebody says. But specifically open it to God and his word. Bring him in by your own doing. Because you want to. Not because somebody makes you. By your own will. By your own heart's desire. Open your heart to God and his word. Then, if you do that, the word becomes ours. It's like it's yours. You've got it. It becomes your treasure. The word becomes your heart. You see? If you don't ever open it and let him in, that's not going to happen. But if you let him in, it will. Because God is a loving father. He's tender. He's not going to bust in and like say, psh, and take you and make you think stuff and do stuff. That is not how God is. We let him in. So doing that, how that happens, it starts with love. The love of God. That's what melts those walls down that the adversary builds up around people's hearts. And that love of God will melt down any steel walls or whatever is there. So love. Love each other up. Love big. Don't be afraid to love. This is my heart for this advance, that you actually put your arms around somebody and you hug them, again, for the appropriate length of time. Look people in the eye when you talk to them. You know, you don't have to turn away and like, that's kind of a cop out, but love somebody enough to look at them when you talk to them. I mean, I love to look into your eyes when I talk to you because you're wonderful. You're the best. It's awesome. This love of God is deliberate. We're not an accident. You know, there are many people who don't believe in creation that believe that we're here by some strange accident, okay? That is not the case. We're here due to a deliberate decision, an act of love that God had. This love of God, it's what makes everything matter. If we were an accident, what would really matter? Would your feelings matter? Your feelings do matter to God, but they don't supersede His word, you see? He cares. But if all of this was an accident, then nothing really matters. But it's not an accident. It's God's deliberate will. And He loves us. So I'm going to quote Ethan Duran from last year after the advance on the back porch at Kohev. He said to me, "Dean, this changes everything." And I thought that was awesome. Because God loved us, and He's the creator, that changes everything for us. So, what you get out of this advance will be up to you. It's the amount of melting that happens in our hearts. Those walls, you know, that stuff, the callous that the world builds up around our hearts, that we just take it out, get rid of it. Don't be too cool for school, you know? You're with family here. There's nobody here that, you know, is a rank unbeliever that you have to try to impress. This is your family. This is the family God gave you. So, man, enjoy it. Get blessed by it. My first advance was when I was 16 years old. It was in Gainesville, Florida. And I was terrified to go to this thing. I seriously was shaking in my boots. I wanted to go, and I was really glad that I got to go. And I was one of those people that were there from very far away, you know, from New Jersey. And I just had the greatest time of my life at that thing. I wrote my dad a note, and I said, "Thank you for telling me about this, because I just had the greatest time of my life." And I remember specifically one moment, walking arm in arm with a group of people and skipping. And I literally felt like I was floating on air because of the love of God that I was experiencing and tasting. And because of that, literally, I'm going to tell you, because of that experience that I had at an advance like this, that's why I'm here right now. Because I wanted other people to taste that and to have that. And it just was a seed that was planted that is still growing. It's so great. Just a brief little history about camps and stuff. There was a baseball camp in 1991 that Reverend Jerry Carr did that Jesse was at. Who else was that at that? Anyone here? Well, dads were there. Anyone know whose dad was there? Trevor's dad? Hannah's dad? Yes. Was there, and that was a baseball camp of kids that really loved God's word and got to be together. And then 3 years later, we had our first teen fellowship, and that was awesome. And from that, we started doing teen camps. In 1996, we started teen camps, and for 10 years straight, we did teen camps there at this place. And then the place got destroyed. I don't know. Something happened crazy. Burned down. And then we started doing advances at the property in 2007. That's like 15 years ago. Some of you had to hatch in order to be here. You know? Like babies, you got, some of you guys were, when we were doing youth advances at the property. And now we're here at this camp. We'll see how many years we do this here. I told these guys, if this goes good, you book us for next year. And maybe we'll do longer. We'll see how it goes. You tell me what you want to do. So Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." This is our theme verse. It's not finally we get to something here in the Word. It's finally after all the awesome stuff that came before. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, is just the greatest revelation to the Christian church. You know, God does not have a children's menu. You go to a restaurant, and some kids get the children's menu, right? And it's got the chicken fingers and the spaghetti with sauce, and you know what a children's menu looks like, don't you? And then the adults get all of the amazing calamari, the meals, like all this other stuff, right? God doesn't do that. He gave us all everything. There's no children's menu with God. I don't know why my Olivia, 8 years old, we go to a restaurant. Instead of getting from the children's menu, what do you think she orders? A T-bone steak. That's my Olivia. And I was like, God bless her. Let her eat. And she finished it too. So, with God, there's no children's menu. Do you understand that? That's awesome. We all get it all. Be strong in the Lord. Strong is to strengthen in. To be strengthened. To be empowered. To make strong. To receive strength and increase strength. And the word power. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Power means strength or force. It's might with great power. It's to be powerful and effectiveness. And then the word might is ability brought into action, force or strength. You understand, this is God's heart for us, that we be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What a vision for a life. God doesn't have a vision for your life to just get by and to just kind of scurry on down the way. God's vision for each one of us is incredible. It's that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's his vision for us. I didn't make it up. It's not my vision. It's God's vision for you and me. It's not to be strong in science or in man's ideas or in the wonderful philosophy of college thinking, which is devilish and corrupt, by the way, if you haven't learned anything. It's not to be strong in sports or music or in a talent that you might have. That's great. But what about be strong in the Lord, keeping God first in our life? That's what God sees as a great vision for us. The other things are okay. I'm not saying don't do that. I mean, I do other things in life and I enjoy them. But be strong in the Lord, not man, and not in our own opinion either. You want to be strong in something? Be strong in the Lord. The secret of this whole deal is that it's not our strength, you see. Isn't that nice? It's not our strength. It's his. It's the strength in the God in Christ in us. And that just is sweet because we don't have to lift weights for that and all, you know. He gave us all the same spirit. He didn't give you a little less than someone else next to you. Or vice versa. We all get it all. God and Christ in us. And you know what that is? And I saw this so beautiful as I was looking at all this. That's the heart of a champion. You ever think about what a champion is? In athletics, a champion is someone that wins a lot. It's someone that when the chips are down in their looks like they're going to lose. Do they give up? Hell no. The heart of a champion comes back and wins. And this God in Christ in us and be strong in the Lord and the power of his might is like having a heart of a champion as opposed to having a heart as a victim. And people in this world, this mentality of this world is to become a victim. And I'm sure you see it if you listen carefully. The world wants you to think you're a victim when you are not a victim in this life. This victim mentality always loses, yet a champion never gives up and comes back and wins. Romans 8:37. These kind of ideas and this kind of thinking, these are the things that changed my life from being molded by the world. And I was this scared kid into becoming a believer who stands on the word. It's this kind of thinking. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. You think someone that's more than a conqueror is strong in the Lord? You better believe it. We are not the victim in this life. I don't care what happens to you. You're not the victim in this life. You have the victory already. You're seated in the heavenlies. That's a guaranteed deal. You've already won in this life. So great. You know, you can be angry every minute of every day because of what goes on in the world, couldn't you? If you thought about it, look at all the stuff that goes on in the world. If you think about that, oh my God, the injustice, the sadness, how unfair things are. You could be upset, sad, and angry every day. Or you could be blessed every day if you want. It's up to you what you look at in your mind's eye and how you want to see life. The way the adversary wants you to see it or how God wants you to see it. The greatest battle in our life will always be the integrity and accuracy of God's word in our life, in our own life. And that's something that we need to decide about. We need to handle the integrity of the word in our own life. That's a big deal. How's it doing? How's the integrity of God's word in your life? Because that's all on each one of us. You know, you ever hear the saying, make up your mind? Or I've made up my mind? That is a powerful statement. That means after all the consideration, after all the deliberation, after all the examining, you've said, I've made up my mind. And that is an awesome thing. And we need to make up our mind about the word in our life and holding forth the integrity of God's word in our own life. You know, aren't you tired of being afraid? Man, that's what helped me get out of fear, being so sick of it. I was so sick and tired of being afraid in life and just shaking in my boots, sweating, knees buckling and all that. Just terrible. And sometimes we get afraid, but God helps us. Be strong in the Lord. Trust God. Isaiah 26:4. Isaiah 26:4. It says here, trust ye in the Lord forever. It's great. For in the Lord Jehovah is what? Who God is? Everlasting strength is one of the things you could put in there. Everlasting strength. Psalm 73. Who God is. What a great thing to reconsider, to just reset it in our minds. Have stuff to share with people that want to know or ask or question, well, who is God anyway? Who is he? What's he like? What has he done? Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart faileth. Has that ever happened to you? Man, if you said it didn't, I'd call you a liar. Because it's not about the flesh. It's not about our own heart. Those things fail, and God knows that. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. What a great goal in life. To make up your mind about that. That God was going to be the strength of your heart. That means it's not about your heart and what it can do and how smart it is or whatever. It's that God is the strength of your heart. In order to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, we need to know who the Lord is. What the Lord has done and what he can do. The word Lord is the title given to God. It's a supreme in authority. The word Lord is a principal, a ruler, a master, and a respectable title to God. The first usage of this word Lord is in Genesis 2, verse 4. We're going back to the beginning here. Genesis 2, 4. I got to tell you, in looking at all this stuff in God's word, I've just been so blown away at who God is. In Genesis 2, verse 4, it says, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." Who made them? And who is the Lord in this verse? The Lord God. This word Lord here is Jehovah. It's the existing one. It's the word, it's Lord because it's God in relation to whom he's created, to man. See, God is God the creator. That's, well, Genesis 1:1. We're right there, right? Flip a page, I think. It says here, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." You know, God designed life, right? I'm an architect. I actually get paid to do architecture. Like, I'm a real licensed architect, okay? We design stuff, and it gets built. And designing things is really interesting. And I so often think about that God designed me. Whoa, this hand. Oh, wow, I have an opposable thumb. Look at this. Nails grow. Your eye, your pupil goes boom, boom, boom. It's like, whoa, God designed us. He designed life. We're here because he created. In the beginning, God, what? Created the heaven and the earth. This whole universe. We're here because he did that. We're here in this galaxy, on this planet, in this state of we're in Pennsylvania. On this island, in this room, sitting in this chair. We're here because God created. He's the one that designed this thing. And what's so great is that this word create is reserved, that word is reserved to God and him alone. He's the only one that can create. No one else can create. No man, no scientist, no computer, no AI can create anything. God and God alone is the one that can create. Because it means to bring something into existence from nothing. Who's God? He's the creator. He created this whole thing. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. It says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The word workmanship is masterpiece. And out of all the things that God created, and you've seen it, okay? I'm sure you've all seen things at, whether it was Liberty Science Center or in school or some video, the relationship of scale in the universe, of how the galaxy sits there as a speck, and then they zoom into the galaxy, and then you can't even see the Earth. And then they zoom way, way, way in, and then you see a dot, and it's the Earth. And all this stuff, the universe that God created, and all the things in the universe and in the planet that God created, out of all of it, his masterpiece. And you know what a masterpiece is, right? It's the best work of all. If you were an artist, it would be your number one piece. If you were Leonardo da Vinci, it would be the Mona Lisa. The masterpiece is the thing. And who's the masterpiece in this verse? What does it say? We are. We're his masterpiece. Who is our Lord? God. I need a volunteer, a couple volunteers to read one verse only, one verse alone, just one. Who would like to read Numbers 23:19? Hannah. Who would like to read John 1:1? Who do I see here? Jules. Who would like to read John 4:24? Do I have a counter on this side? Shannon. Who would like to read 1 John 1:5? Bibiana. Who would like to read 1 John 4:8? LJ. You got it. Okay. So, you guys who are not reading the verse, you can relax. Just listen, okay? You might have heard these verses before. So who's got the first one? Numbers 23:19. And notice, we're looking at who God is, okay? Go. Stand up, face the majority of the crowd, and read your verse.
Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and it shall be not to it. Or hath he spoken, and it shall be not made it.
Okay, thank you. God is not a what?
Man.
A man. So don't put man's characteristics on him. Men lie. Sometimes men do not have integrity. But God has integrity. He's going to say something, and he's going to do it. You could bank on that. It's so great. He's not a man that he should lie. Next verse, John 1:1.
John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
God and his Word speaking, is God speaking. He is his Word, you see? He gave us his Word, and when his Word is spoken, that's God, like God speaking to your ears when you read God's Word. It's great. John 4:24.
John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
If he's not a man, he's what?
Spirit.
Spirit. If he was made of slime, he'd be slimy. But he's made of spirit. 1 John 1:5. Who's got it?
1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
God is light. You want to know who God is? He's these things. He's light. That means there's not a speck of darkness in him at all. Even the sun, and it's so amazing, the sun itself, our source of light, when you look at it, it has dark spots on it. But there's no darkness in God at all. Next verse, 1 John 4:8.
He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
God is what?
Love.
Love. He is love. God loved us first, and he teaches us how to love, because he is love. It's God in Christ in us. We have love in us. You ever think of that? He is love. It's God in Christ in us. We have love in us. We have the ability to love with the love of God. So that's some of who God is. But what's he like? Isaiah 40. Who God is, our Creator. He's love. He's light. This is who God is. And what's he like? Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. God is strong, yet he's going to carry the lambs in his bosom like a puppy. Verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? All the oceans of the world. The mind picture is that the hollow of your hand. Make a little cup in your hand. All the oceans of the world are right there in God's hand. Or he measured out the heavens. You know, he could put a laser on it and tell you the dimensions of the heavens. I survey sometimes. It's hard to get dimensions of a freaking room that's square sometimes. Okay, in the middle of the verse. And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath declared the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor had taught him? Who taught God stuff? How did God know how to create? How did God know anything? With whom took he counsel and who instructed him and taught him the path of judgment? Who taught God what was right and what was wrong? And taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? God knows answers to questions that we don't even know we have. God is awesome. Verse 25, to whom then will ye liken him? Me. Who then shall ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that bring out their host or the stars by number? The manifestations tonight that Pete Webster brought forth mentioned the stars that he created. Look what it says about him. He bringeth out their host of the stars by number and calleth them by names. Not only does he know how many stars there are, he named them. If he created them and could measure it, then he knows exactly how many there are. And designed the whole thing and named it all. The stars, and that's, I remember when I shared God's word with Alberto Pena, that got his attention. He was like, whoa, the word of God is written in the stars? Of course God knows how many there are, the names of them. He wrote his word in the stars with pictures before he even had it written. God is just incredible. He calleth them by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. That is just amazing, because he created them. Verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? You want to know something about God? He doesn't get tired like we do. Some of you guys are tired now. That's okay. Some of you guys got up at 3 a.m. and traveled. God bless you. But does God get tired? No. Does he get weary? No, he's spirit. One of the great characteristics of God is that he doesn't get tired. He doesn't faint. He's just always strong. That's awesome about him. Man, verse 28. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, what does he do? He increases strength. God is the one that gives power to the faint. He's the one that increases strength. God is so great in his power and how big he is that he can actually care about every detail of your life. That's how big he is. Some people say, oh, God doesn't have time for my little need. Is he that small that he can't take care of your little need or your big need? No, he's huge. Of course he can. He's that big. He's that awesome that he can do that. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, like some of y'all are right now. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's the heart of a champion, because now God's involved. That's it. That's some of what God is like. Job 36. Not Job. Job. Middle of the Bible, right before Psalms. Job 36:26. How old is God, by the way? Old? Job 36:26. It says, behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can we number his years. The number of his years, they can't be searched out. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. You can't even. How old is God? You can't even. I could give you a mathematical equation of how old God is. You ready? Here's a dot. Put a line with an arrow this way with the infinity symbol, and a line with an arrow this way and the infinity symbol. That's how old God is mathematically. Just in case you needed that. How old is that? You can't even. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, who can find him out? He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. God's never the one to afflict. That's the other guy's job and duty in life, the adversary. He's the one that afflicts, not God. Job 38:3. Gird up thy loins. Gird up now thy loins like a man. Like a man. You know, what's really interesting is the world is trying to get men to become weak and to become soft, like a girly man. And the world is trying to get women to become hard and to become dominant over man. And that's really not God's design. God designed this whole thing. You got to make up your mind if you want to be conformed to this world or not. God designed man to be man and women to be women. Okay? The world is trying to screw that thing up, and it's just pitiful. It's great. Be what God made you. Okay, back to the verse. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee. And answer thou me, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Where were you when God laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you? You weren't even a protein. Who hath laid, verse 5. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched out the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? That just blew my mind, because I never even considered that the foundations of the whole world were fastened to something. Who laid the cornerstone thereof? God is asking questions that you just kind of like go, you just put your hand over your mouth because you don't have an answer. You don't know. You have no clue. But who knows? God does. And that's great, because it's easy for me to be humble before God, because he knows a lot more than me. Psalm 77. Verse 13, look at God's strength to save his people. 77, Psalm 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that dost wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob, Selah. God saves his people, Psalm 106. A few pages over. Psalm 106, verse 7 and 8. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. God does stuff and people forget. Or people just, they don't really think about it. That's why it's so important to think about who God is and what he's done. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. We need to remember God's and his mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them out of his hand, or saved them for his namesake, that he, God, might make his mighty power be known. God saved the children of Israel. You know the story. Didn't he part that Red Sea? He did it for that purpose, to make known his mighty power. What are some of the powerful things that God has done? I want you to answer now. Go ahead. Somebody shout something out, a powerful thing that God has done. Created the world. That took some kind of power.
Raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
Ooh, you get 9 out of 3 poopadoobles for that one. What kind of power does it take to raise someone that's dead? And he didn't just raise him up from the dead to die again. Guess what happened to Jesus Christ when he was raised from the dead? Die no more, baby. What kind of power? That's why he got 9 out of 3 poopadoobles on that. Who's next? What do you got? He gave us power to be his sons. Oh, to speak in tongues. Yes, absolutely. That's a great one. Yes. He shut the mouths of the lions. Great one. Someone else. Come on. Who's got it? Shout it out. He parted the Red Sea. Go ahead. Food and water to God's people when they needed it. Yes. What else? Tore down the walls of Jericho. That's right. Shout it out. Come on. Fishes and the loaves. How many were there to start? Just a couple. And then how many were left? A lot. Again, Trevor. He gave them manna for a long time. And they said, what is it? And they ate it. Josh.
Got the apostles out of prison several times.
Sure did. Took some power to do that.
He gave
us power for. Yeah, manifestations. Yes. In the back.
He turned the sun back in time.
That's right. Liz.
There was not one feeble person when they left Egypt.
40 years in the desert and they were all strong. Yes, Noah. Ten Commandments. Yes, Enzo. Oh, the moist fleece when it was supposed to be dry or something? Yes. Okay, yeah, that was, I know that record. That's right. I haven't heard that one in a while, but yes, absolutely, yes. Amazing, Noah's Ark. Just, first of all, he provided Noah a design, I'm an architect, the design for Noah's Ark, which was humongous. Go ahead. You got another one, Trev. I know you. He lit a wet fire, water in the trenches, right? That's what the record you mean? That's right. So look, you know a lot of powerful things that God has done, don't you? Those are the things we need to remember. God is just awesome. And, you know, we need to remember those things when we need his help. Because he's powerful. He can do those things. And he does those things. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. See, sometimes we get in trouble because we do the wrong thing. And then we cry unto the Lord in our trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. Verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 20, he sent his word and what?
Healed them
and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for people to cry to him. Our goal in life is not to try to be perfect. Because God knows that we're not. He just is looking for people that cry unto him so that he could help them. That's what he's like. That's what God is like. That's our God. And that's just beautiful. 139, Psalm 139. Verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Do you ever think you could ever hide from God? Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Remember the little lamb? Look at this. Not only is God everywhere present, but he's everywhere ready to hold us by the right hand to help. So great. Verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And that's what our soul should know. That God, we're so fearfully and wonderfully made. He made us. He actually formed, made, and created us. And how just incredible that is. He designed us. And he knows us, and he still loves us. He knows our frame. He loves us. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How many sand granules are there in the world? You ever dig a hole in the beach? Seems like you can go to China and there's still sand all through. I used to hold sand and try to count a couple, you know, and it's, how much sand is there? Well, man, God's thoughts should be precious to us way more than man's thoughts. God has given us great and precious promises, and they should be precious to us. Joshua 1. Joshua 1, there was a man who was going to lead God's people. Moses died, and now God was going to help Joshua. And this is what God is like. This is how God helped Joshua. Joshua 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What an incredible statement. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. What if God told you that? What if God told you that? That I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. I say if, but he already did in his word. He's already promised to never leave us or forsake us. And he tells us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. God tells us these things and so many more in manifestations, like out of fellowship, you know. So back to Ephesians 6:10. Actually, Ephesians 1, you can go to Ephesians 1, because I already told you Ephesians 6:10 says finally, right? But that wasn't the start of something to begin something else. It was like finally after all this. And in Ephesians, the breakfast of champions, the great revelation of Ephesians, just some great stuff. Like, okay, who God is? He's like this. What is he like? He's like this, what I'm going to read right now. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already blessed us with what?
All spiritual,
all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. This is some of the stuff God did. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? I'm reading this quick, but look at this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? That's why I gave 9 out of 3 poopadoopoos. Because what kind of power does it take to raise somebody from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion? There's no other principality or power in this world greater than what he's done with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You think God has enough mercy for you and how screwed up you might think you are sometimes? He has just so much. He's rich in it. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. He has enough power to get us seated up there too already. We're here now, but we're seated in the heavenlies already. Verse 7, I didn't read. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness to usward through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God saved us. We're saved. God has the power to save. And he wanted to save us. If he didn't want to save us, you think he would have saved us? No. Look at chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? What?
Strengthened
with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. There was 4 dimensions there, not 3. Usually there's only 3 dimensions in this world. Look at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do. Who is God? What's he like? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in who? Somebody else. The power that worketh in us. We have it. God can do exceeding abundantly and above all that we ask or even dream of. That's the kind of God. That's what he's like. That's what he is. Chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You're forgiven by God because Jesus Christ paid. You're forgiven because God decided that that's what he wanted to do. God is the highest judge in court there is. And God's already made up his mind. Forgiven. That's what we are in Christ Jesus. We're forgiven. God has the power to forgive, and you're forgiven. It's great. Chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are the light. Ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of what? God made the lights in the sky, in the stars, and he also made us light. It's beautiful. And 6, chapter 6, our theme verse. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now you heard some of who the Lord is, all that stuff that we just kind of covered, what he's about, what he's done. How to be strong in the Lord is in verse 11. And I'm just going to skim through this and tell you who's going to share these topics in our upcoming sharings from the Word, okay? Verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Oh, actually, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Just specifically about being strong, Tim Gilmore is going to share about that. And then in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Stephanie Shum, or Hernandez, will cover that. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Don't you want to be able to stand against the old fool? Yeah. Hell yes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And this world is dark. Don't chime into it and be part of it. Shine your light on it. Against the rulers in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We already have the victory in this life. It's a wrestling match. This is figurative language for wrestling against spiritual things. We already have the victory, but it's between now and the gathering together that we wrestle. And that's the deal, and God shows us how to do this. But we already have the victory in the end. So that we are not tricked in this life and just led around by our nose, by the adversary for 20 years, lost in this world, messing around in stupid stuff. Whether it's intellectual stuff or narcotics or whatever the adversary wants to throw your way. That we're not stolen from and kept in bondage by the spiritual darkness and wickedness in this world. To be clothed with this armor of God, you're going to need to speak in tongues frequently in your private prayer life. We're talking about being a champion in this life, having the heart of a champion, okay? So in order to do that, you need to speak in tongues in your life. You're going to need to speak in tongues and interpret at a believer's meeting. And man, when I was a kid, I was so nervous of somebody calling on me. And you heard me say this recently. I think I shared. I was at a big fellowship with over 100 people. And I was like 13. And somebody called on Dean to speak in tongues and interpret. And I was like, oh. Ah. And then some other dude named Dean stood up and spoke in tongues and interpret. And I was like, ah, oh, oh. I went through changes in those seconds, you know. But man, if I'm going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, you think I'm going to stand up and speak in tongues and interpret at a believer's meeting? Of course you are. You're going to need to bring forth words of prophecy in a believer's meeting. You're going to need to learn how to receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning in spirits so that you can carry out faith, which is believing, miracles, and healing in your life. That's what God made available to us, putting on this whole armor to be able to fight this spiritual wickedness that's in this world, that counterfeits God at every turn. It only can be figured out by manifestations. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what?
Stand
therefore. And that's what Jesse Carr is going to cover. Having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins is this middle part of your body that connects everything together. And you gird it about. It's like you put your belt on of the truth. And Hannah Gilmore is going to share about the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate of righteousness, it protects your heart. The breastplate, it's right here. The breastplate of righteousness, it protects your heart. Where do you believe God's word? In your heart, it protects that. And it's God's righteousness believed that's going to make you absolutely fearless in this life. When you put that on and believe it, you're not going to be afraid. You know that God Almighty is with you and you're tapped into his strength. So fear is gone. It's not present. It's awesome. Verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, prepared with the right word, the good news. Above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith, believing. There it is. The shield of faith, believing. And Julia Roble and Aaron Shack are going to cover those things this weekend. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Quench them. You hold up the word, the shield of faith, the believing. Any darts come your way, they don't sting you because you believe God's word. You're not fooled by the adversary. It's so important. 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And Reverend Alberto Penn is going to cover that. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And to close, Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. God has this kind of heart for us. Who God is, this is what God is like. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. How cool is it to say, I have a God? Think about that. He's my God. You have a God. You're not God. You have a God. That's so great. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. And you know what? I know this is written in Isaiah, but there are people who are against us in this life. There are devil spirits that are against us in this life. And this applies. Because we know the future, because we know God's word and what's going to happen to the adversary and all his spirits, the adversary spirits, devil spirits, right? 11. All they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contend with thee, you know, our wrestling match. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Be strong in that. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So who God is? God is the creator. God is not a liar. He keeps his word. God is spirit. God is light. God is love. God is tender yet strong. God helps and saves. God is really, really nice. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God gave us spirit. God forgives. God is light. God is righteous. God will strengthen you. You have your dream God. If you had to think of how God could be better, you couldn't. God is your dream God. Enjoy him. So let God and his word into your heart. Let him in. Invite him in. Bring him in. So that you could put it into believing action in your life. The Lord God will strengthen you. And you will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So Father, thanks for your great word. Thanks that we can be strong in this life. And that we are champions, we're more than conquerors, and all the great things that you've made us. Thank you for who you are. what you've done and what you will do and what you do every day, God. Thank you for being you, and we just are so in awe of you. And if someone is not, shame on them, because they ought to be in awe of you and what you can do. Thank you, God, for this great word, and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.